am interested, perhaps more than I should be, in the issue of minority students coming here. Some of the most dramatic interviews I've done are with some of the very early black students.
Good.
And
what do they say?
They tell of tough times, mm-hmm. of real hard times. But boy, these were strong people.
Have to be.
These are strong people.
Mm. We had a president of student government who was black. Did you interview him?
Will Dumas? He's
yes.
on my list of people to go
Delightful
to.
Delightful young man.
I'm very
he
much...
He won't remember me, but he's a very impressive.
I'm very much looking forward to meeting him. I've heard very good things
And I'll be anxious to hear what he says. I mean, I'd like to know hear what he says. It's not an easy row to hoe for these black students. I would think not. Because we have a very strong Southern heritage. We've moved off the center of that, I think. I know we have. And I don't know what it would feel to be a black student here, but I think you would still feel some racism.
Well, apparently it is. Mm-hmm. It's a factor.
And, I mean, it's in the student body, I think. We have students from the Deep South. It's changing, and it's changing with some rapidity, I think. And that's wonderful. It's not as bad as it used to be, no question. But I think they'd have to be strong people, and my hat's off to them. I think they are an important part of this university.
Well, I sure do. Boy, I mean, I tell you, these guys I interviewed are some of the most impressive people I've ever met.
The young woman that I mentioned earlier that was a double minority, she was defeating herself. It was too bad. And I was sorry, and I wanted so to tell her. And I regretted I didn't. Because she was so negative, and you don't accomplish anything with negativism, mm-hmm. is my experience. But gosh, she was bright. Oh, she was so bright.
Yeah, I haven't met too many students who weren't
right.
very
But
very
don't you think it's interesting why they come here? Why do they say they come here?
Well, those early guys came because they were trying to break through. And that was the days of black power, mm-hmm. and they saw themselves as pioneers, and they had a mission
sure.
that they were trying to achieve. But that's a different generation than we're dealing with now.
Why do they come now? Student aid?
The student aid, and I talked to one young man who came just for the same reasons you talk about. He walked on the campus and said, mm-hmm. this is what a college is supposed to be. It's beautiful. But he's had a tough time. He's had
a
tough
time. It has to be tough. I mean, I just am trying to be realistic about it. It has to be tough. But that's going to get better. I know it, and if it's going to get better anywhere, it's going to get better here.
Well, I hope so.
I do too.
I really hope that an effort is being made to mm-hmm. attract some of those dynamic black mm-hmm. students. Because faculty have told me, too, that the quality of the black students isn't what it used to be. They're not as stimulating and interesting people as... But it may be a sign of the times.
Sure.
But
who knows?
But you know those interesting people are out there. But as you say, why would they want to come to little Lexington,
it's
Virginia?
It's tough to make it attractive enough for them.
Yeah.
And I think the only way we're going to do that is with student aid.
Yeah.
We've talked about that.
Well, I hope it's an issue.
Well,
I want to get back to something you said a little while ago. I'm not supposed to be injecting my point of view here, and I've been doing it. I grew up in Annapolis. And you talked about you went to the Naval Academy mm-hmm. to date, and you came here.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's something I really know something about.
Good.
Tell me what the difference is between dating at Washington and Lee and dating at the Naval Academy.
Well, one difference is who you're dating, don't you think? Probably boils down to that. Who's the most attractive? And it's very glamorous to date at the Naval Academy. Uniforms are wonderful. And I had a very dear, dear friend who went there. And there were a group of boys, midshipmen. I guess there were 15 of them that were very close. And I lived in Baltimore, and on football weekends they all came for dinner every time there was a football game, and we grew up through college that way. And it was a very special group. And my father had been to West Point, my brother had been to West Point, so I had that military background. So I knew when you had to get to formation, you had to get to formation, you know. But it was glamorous to see them marching, and they had beautiful dances and tea dances and football games with bands. What girl wouldn't want a date at one of the academies? But I think if you were dead in love with a midshipman or a cadet, it was tough. I wasn't dead in love, but I certainly had a good time.
Now, how about...
This is more me. This should be Washington Lee. That's
well,
Washington.
No, it is. It is. It's something I'm trying to get myself educated too.
Okay.
There's a term that's used around here that I'm curious whether it was used in your day. Road schools? Were women's colleges called road schools then?
Well, probably not. I think they might be referring to the fact that some girls can come up on Wednesday and stay through Sunday. Is that what they mean?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
I know that anyone who goes to Hollins or Randolph-Macon or Mary Baldwin, those are road schools.
Well, they're on the road, I guess. They got to get on the road to get here, either male or female.
But it's a term that I'm wondering whether it was in use in your day.
No, I've never heard it. I know there's a lot of... I don't know, it's just hard, I think, when you're the mother of girls. You just don't... We were not as accessible when I was growing up. You know, we didn't call boys on the telephone, ever. And I can remember when our son was growing up, girls called him up all the time. And I said, Reed, you know, why do they do that? But it's a different situation this day and time.
So this concept of road schools, whether it was called that or not.
I don't think it's very flattering.
I don't either.
In the context.
I'm interested in that time on the road.
Mm.
That was a dangerous trip you all were making back and forth.
And there's usually one bad accident a year too. 501, and that's, I live off 501, so I've gone that road a whole lot. It's a dangerous road, no question. And if you've had too much to drink, or even a little, that would set off your reaction, it would be extremely dangerous. It's a scary road. I think we're blessed that we don't have more trouble. But again, designated drivers, you hope is what they're doing.
But that was not a concept in use
in
your day.
We didn't even think about it. Of course we didn't. Of course we weren't drinking. So we got here and back on our own steam most of the time.
So they wouldn't come and get you and bring you back. The girls would bring you.
Sometimes. Just depends, mm-hmm. You know.
It just seems like there must have been a lot of time spent on the road, literally.
But you didn't think about that then. What's 45 minutes? Gosh, they'd drive down to Florida for spring break, don't you remember? Nonstop. Think of the things we used to do. Ooh. Just going across the map was a piece of cake.
I guess so. How about fun places to go around in Washington Lee? Did you go out to Goshen or?
Oh, sure. I had picnics. And you usually came up here on big weekends where there were things going on all the time. I did not come every weekend, you know. I used to wait and came on big weekends.
And what else besides fancy dress was a big weekend?
Oh, gosh. There were things at fraternity houses that were big.
Take me to a fraternity party. Take me to a fraternity.
I'm not going to take you to a fraternity party.
come on. Please take me to a fraternity party.
Well, you all stood up and talked and... Gosh, that takes me back so long. Oh, and I think they'd be awful to go to if I had to do it now. But that was where the action was, you know. You went out to dinner. That was fun. You sat around and talked. And I can remember the Betas, they had sort of a pickup band. And that was great fun.
What do you mean a pickup band?
Well, they all played instruments. There were five or six of them that played instruments.
Right there in the fraternity?
Yeah. Or if they weren't all from one, they would congregate. And it was wonderful fun to sit and sing and listen.
Can you remember who any of those musicians
were?
No, but
my husband could tell you everybody's name right away.
Because I've got some wonderful photographs from that time period.
Oh, he could tell you. He could tell you. I'm not good on names. But oh gosh, they had a wonderful time. Somebody on the drums and the trumpet and the piano.
And would people dance or just listen to the music?
Either way, whatever suited you. And you know, it's wonderful. This is a beautiful area to take picnics or to hike. And Blue Hole, we used to go swimming in this water, freezing, freezing. And they'd come down to Ronald Macon for dances.
Mm-hmm. Tell me about
that. We had dinner
that.
Dances. We had sororities at that time. We had sorority parties. They had fraternity parties.
What kind of dances were there at Randolph Macon? Was there something the equivalent of fancy dress?
Well, I guess the biggest dance while you were there was the senior dinner dance. And that was another big band. You couldn't afford to have many bands, so those were always for the special dances, you know. If there was a dance at Christmas, before Christmas break. Mm-hmm. And that was we used to have tea dances. They didn't have tea dances. Don't you remember tea dances?
Oh, yes.
You had those receiving ones. But I think one thing we haven't touched on is how this physical plan has changed.
I'd like to talk more about that.
Which is simply amazing to me. Because during our tenure, my husband's and mine, we've had the Law Center built. And by two remarkable people to this university, Francis and Sidney Lewis. And I can remember during that dedication when we were standing up, they always did things together. They're a very close, wonderful couple. And when Sidney would get up to acknowledge, you know, the thanks, he would be up with Frances, and he would always include her in whatever he said. It's wonderful to see. Still is wonderful. They're devoted to each other. They've been so generous to this university. So the law building, the Reeve Center, the Watson Pavilion. I knew Mrs. Watson very well. She's from Lynchburg, a dear friend. And that was an interesting building to see completed. It was in a very controversial area to begin with.
Why?
Because of where it was. It was sort of like one of the last free spaces that young people could toss a frisbee. And we had to take a maple tree down. And I can remember advising everybody, do not cut that maple tree down until spring break, because you're going to have one student chained to it, sure as shooting. And I can remember when the board came to vote on the Watson Pavilion or to accept it or whatever, make the decision, they had a banner across the colonnade that said, save the tree, no more China. It's wonderful. So we've had the Watson Pavilion, we've had the Gaines Dormitory, we've had the Menfest Center, and now we've got the Science Building. So you think of those. I don't talk about the tennis building because that's not done. But you think of what footprints those buildings have left and how they've changed this campus. It's very exciting. Now we're thinking of a student commons, student center.
Where will that be?
That's a good point. We haven't decided. We're going to be hiring master planners who will give us a good idea of where it ought to go.
I've been trying to look around and figure out where it would be.
Mm-hmm.
So have you attended the openings of all these buildings?
I've only missed one day of one board meeting in 12 years. And I had to go to my godson's wedding in Brooklyn. Yes, I've been to everything. Would not come if I was physically able.
Well, take me to some of those parties.
All right, I'll tell you. One that was very, very lovely was the unveiling of the portrait of Justice Powell. And he was here. And he's such a remarkable man that it was a very touching ceremony. He has such great humility and is dearly loved. And that was special. It makes me teary now. I don't know why. To have been there. And of course, the law school dedication, the Menfest Center opening, when Jim Whitehead, we had, what was the restaurant? Sardi's. And Mr. Sardi came down.
Tell me about that.
Oh, we had a wonderful dinner party. Jim Whitehead should have been Mr. Barnum and Bailey. He is. I can tell you lots of fun stories. I'll tell you a few if I can get them all together. But the Lenfest Center, we had dinner in the Black Box. Have you been down in that room?
Tell me about it.
And they'd done sketches of all the board members, like Sardi's, across the thing. Sardi came down himself with his wife. Jim Whitehead had met him in his restaurant and just got this brainstorm. We'll do a Sardi's. Would you come? He said, of course I'll come. Matches, everything came. So we transplanted Sardi's New York to the Lenfest Center. We had a wonderful time. Then I can remember we had a board meeting, and Jim always had a theme. And that year, it was the year of the tiger. You know, the Chinese always have a year of something. And this was the year of the tiger. And we walked into dinner. Saturday night was always an event. That was our big dinner. And if we had donors that we were dining, that's when they came and so forth. And they had a pavilion built, and by damn, inside the pavilion was a tiger. Lord knows where they got him. He was so drugged, he couldn't move. And we just got convulsed. Let me think of other things that we've done that have been fun.
That is a riot.
So many fun things have happened. There's something else I was going to tell you. When you think of dedications. And I think, to me, it is simply amazing. When Washington Lee puts on an event, it's the most beautifully done. You know, to come up to graduation. Have you been to a graduation where everybody gathers for lunch and the graduation, if it's a beautiful day and there haven't been many that weren't, in front of that colonnade? It's very special. And I like the tradition that the president gives the talk on graduation day. I think that's wonderful. And it's very unique, actually. And I've been very impressed in academic affairs when we decide on who's going to have an honorary degree.
How does that get determined?
Well, it's determined. A lot of people, faculty, advise it, and the admissions committee looks at it. So there have been lots of wonderful highlights that I've watched and been part of some. And it's been wonderful to see, and we were talking about this, I was talking about this with John Elrod when we were up at Skylark, that the board of trustees that have passed through this university have been some of the most exceptional men and women, not as many women, but exceptional, who have been absolutely devoted to this school. And I'll tell you, Ross Millhiser was one of the few trustees that had no connection. And he was, I'm trying to think, CEO. You'll have to ask what he did.
I don't know him.
Oh, he's lovely. Ross Millhiser. He was with a tobacco firm, and I can't think of what it is. But find out, because I'd love for him to be mentioned. When I first came to board meetings, it was very intimidating. It really was. Jinx Holton was on the board, as was Frances Lewis, and there were just three women. And we did not sit together on purpose. We said, we'll scatter ourselves around. When we went to meals, when I went to lunch, Ross Millhiser always, the first three meetings, always took me to lunch and sat with me. If there was any place that we were seated, usually at Saturday night, we had name cards or anything, he was sure that I had a seat, and very often it was sitting with him. And that meant a lot to me. Because it took me about three or four board meetings to feel like, one, I'd say anything, mm-hmm. and to sort of have a feeling of belonging. Now I really do. It's wonderful about the way men come up to me when I'm here. I leave here feeling very good, very flattered. It's very special. But I'm trying to think of some of the other fun things that we've had. The law school dedication, of course, that was a big step, a tremendously big step. John Elrod's I'm trying to, what do you say?
Inauguration.
Inauguration.
I missed that by a few days.
Uh-huh. It was wonderful. As was John Wilson's.
One of the things that has impressed me for the events that I've been here is the perfect weather. I think this place has a direct link.
Wouldn't it be wonderful?
I have yet to have some event that I've been involved with.
Well, we had a law school graduation that had to be in. That was the one when the law students voted to have Tom Wolf be their speaker. Have you heard Tom Wolf speak?
Not in person.
He's a character in this world. And he was the speaker they wanted, and he was superb. Superb. He talked about men's second marriages, and he called those wives his trophy wives. Oh, he's just a picnic. He really is. And it was exciting to have him on the board. He was on the board when the Bonfire of the Vanities was published. So we got that spinoff from him. And he wore his white suit to every board meeting. And he used to do doodles. He did caricatures of the board members and did doodles. And Jinx Holton and I would try to get those doodles. She always won. But it's fun, because every now and then I'll write him a note and he'll send me a sort of a little something. Wonderful man. It was just delightful to have him be on the board. He gave a lot of himself to this school. You know, he'd meet and have seminars and all those good things.
Well, there are a lot of really remarkable people.
No question.
Involved with this place.
No question. And now Bill Johnston, you know, is second in command of Wall Street. You knew that.
I don't know Bill Johnston.
He's a new board member. He has been made, he's not CEO. He's either CEO or president of the stock exchange. Be a good one to interview. You've interviewed Jerry Lindquist?
I had a date with him, and he canceled out on me. I'm hoping to get him in the fall. I have to go up to Philadelphia in the fall.
Do it. He'll be fun.
Do you know any particular questions I should ask him? Have you ever heard him tell stories about Washington and Lee?
I think one good question might be, Maine is, why did he think that the Capitol campaign was such a success?
Mm-hmm.
He provided wonderful leadership. But I think there must be a formula there somewhere. We were advised to raise $125 million, I think. And we went out for a whole lot more, and I think it came to $147, if I can remember correctly. But that shows a lot of support. And he'll be a good one to ask you about the Capitol campaign. And he'll have wonderful stories to tell. You know, these men have been here. They can tell you what they did here at this school. A lot of it they won't tell.
That's the thing. If I know the right questions to ask, sometimes I can get terrific stories.
Well, you'll have terrific stories with Jerry, because he's got a wonderful sense of humor.
Great.
And he's fun.
Great. Mm-hmm. Great. Well, I'm looking forward to that. I had a great time with Sydney and Frances last week.
Yes, of course you did.
And she was wonderful.
Isn't
because
she, wonderful?
I just loved her. But she also prompted him. She said, oh, don't forget to tell her about the... And all the stories that came out were just fabulous. Just wonderful. Just wonderful.
And you knew to be associated with people like that. I remember when we were in Houston, she took me to some art gallery. We had a little time. Or maybe there was an event planned, and she took me through that art gallery. And I must tell you, when I looked at portraits of just gray paint and green paint, period, and she told me why that was so wonderful. It was a good experience, a good learning experience. I was not totally convinced, but I enjoyed the opportunity to have her do that.
I can imagine that would be an education.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, tell me,
what's
your most memorable experience at Washington and Lee? You've got a big, grand, many, many years, many, many possibilities. If you could pick one experience, what would it be?
Oh, there have been so many, but I think one was interesting. When I was president of Garden Club Virginia, which was a 2-year job and I've just finished, we dedicated the Robert E. Lee Garden, and it was lovely being able to do that at Washington Lee, which I love. The two organizations that I love the most, that I've worked the hardest for, to come together. It was a very special day.
Tell me about that.
Well, the Garden Club Virginia restores historic gardens throughout the state. We've done about 38. And Washington Lee came to us to do something, to provide a setting for Robert E. Lee House that the president could entertain, sort of have a garden party. There was no documentation for the garden. We had some letters from Lee talking about a rose garden. He used to bring roses into his daughters and his wife at the breakfast table. So we did a garden that could have been here when Lee was here and dedicated, and it's big enough to have a tent. And in fact, Sarah Wilson was married and had the reception there, which was lovely. And they use it for smaller parties, parents weekend, I think. But it was nice to do that garden and see it become a reality and have it here. And we've been here before on Lee Chapel. We did that brick terrace at Lee Chapel and some of the planning there.
You were involved with that?
No, that was before my time. That was in about 1970.
I thought that was there when I came before.
But that was nice.
There's such spectacular trees on this campus.
They are. And they need to be taken care of. The one thing I'd like to see happen that hasn't yet, and probably won't be during my tenure, is I did the Liberty Hall, which was the beginning of this school, basically. We repointed those stones because they needed to be done. Have you been to Liberty Hall?
Mm-hmm.
And I would like to see that site be interpreted with signage. And maybe a small, they've been excavating there. And maybe some kind of a little small center, interpretation center. No, I don't mean a museum. But I think that is the beginning of this school, and I'd like to see that area really appreciated. So I'm going to work for that someday, soon. That's on my wish list.
So what do you think it's going to be like leaving the board?
It'll be dreadful, dreadful. I will come back from time to time, because trustee emeritus do come back. And I'll stay involved, I'll raise money if they want me to.
Oh, I'm sure they want you to.
That's sort of an ongoing. And I'll stay in contact with it. Alumni College is a good way to do that. And I have friends here,
Well.
Who meet a lot.
I know you are very well thought of. When I told people I was going to be talking with you, they said,
well, everybody you're going to interview is well thought of.
Well,
every board member is well thought of.
You've got a sparkle from people, though, that not everybody got.
Well,
I know
there are lots of things I'm going to forget that I haven't told you.
Well, it's been a real mission of mine to make sure we include the women in this book, because the vast majority of the history of this school is a man's school.
Sure.
But a lot of women have been very important to this place, and as the years go by, we're going to have more and more and more alumni.
Sure.
And so this book I'm preparing, I hope, will have a long shelf life. And I want women to see themselves in this book and feel comfortable with this book.
Good.
So.
Are you going to interview Mary Tyler Cheek at all?
Her name has not been suggested.
Well, they gave Skylark, to the university.
Okay, now I recognize the name.
And I think, and I don't know where you have a place where Skylark is pretty spectacular. Have you been up there, Maine?
I haven't.
Well, we got to get you up there. You've got to go in the fall when the leaves change. It is one fabulous place. I think if I had to name great ladies in the state of Virginia, she would be on top of the list.
Really?
She's a very bright, she's done it all. She's had every position. She really is remarkable. And it might be fun to talk to her. I don't know how old Mary Tyler is. The board met in Alexandria, and we went to Christ Church, which was where Lee was confirmed. He wasn't confirmed until he was 40.
Mm-hmm.
And she gave the loveliest talk without a note on Lee. Her father was Douglas Sethel Freeman.
Oh.
And she has a love of the school. And had she been younger, she would have been on this board.
Oh. And where does she live?
She lives in Richmond, Virginia, so that's not too far from
her. No, and I'm going to be seeing people there.
Ask Jim Whitehead, or ask, of course, Frank Parsons knows her. Ask a Ferris Hotchkiss. She's now Hannah Hand. Her husband died, Mr. Cheek died, and she married a man that she knew early on in her life. So it's Mary Tyler Hanahan, and I am a real fan.
Well, I will certainly ask Ferris about her, mm-hmm. whether he thinks that fits in.
And of course, Jinx Holton is Pistol. You'll have to interview her. She's very bright. I was just trying to think of women. Of course, there are lots of women behind these husbands, too.
Well, I want to thank you for spending this time today.
You're really so welcome. Can't wait to get your book.
Oh, I can't wait either. But I'm having too much fun doing it. I don't want to rush it too much.
You'll have fun in the making.
I am.